Welcome to Business Insights. I would like to thank you for tuning in. There's a lot of content out there, so you spending this hour with us means a great deal. This show is my opportunity to share the entrepreneurial success stories of our local business owners, and I encourage you to join me each week as we profile a new member of our business community. My guest in studio today is Heather Norris. Heather is the CEO of Northumberland United Way. So late last night, I just kind of Facebook messaged Heather and said, I know you're leaving imminently for Ottawa. Would you come on my show? And you graciously accepted.
Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be here. And I love that your show is called Business Insights, because in the 10 years that I've been here in the county, I've worked for nonprofits, charitable organizations. And it wasn't that long ago when they weren't looked at the same way as businesses. And I would say that the nonprofit and charitable sector is a really important and significant part of the economic engines of our community.
Absolutely.
It employs staff, it raises necessary funds for the programs and services that our communities need to remain vibrant and relevant. So I love to see things, you know, this business insights and things like the local chambers of commerces now that offer business excellence awards that include service clubs and nonprofits and charitable organizations. So that's really great to see.
That's right. So what I want to do is I kind of want to take our audience back to kind of understand a little bit more about you and your path. So are you from Ottawa?
I am.
Okay, so tell us about, you were born and raised in Ottawa, went to school.
Yes, I did my undergrad at Ottawa University. And I worked for almost 15 years in the healthcare sector. Was a position that I stumbled on, actually, when I was going to when I was doing my undergrad. I started working part-time at a laser eye surgery clinic, helping open the office part-time on weekends for post-op visits, post-surgical patients. And that sort of rolled into a full-time position. So when I finished university, I moved to Kingston and I opened a laser eye surgery clinic. I went back to Ottawa. I moved to Toronto and helped open an eye clinic at Kensington Eye Institute, which was part of the government's waitlist strategy to reduce cataract surgery wait times in Ontario. And so I had really this sort of evolution of working with ophthalmologists and in laser eye surgery clinics from Ottawa, Kingston, and Toronto.
So I'm intrigued. So what did you study at university?
I have a social science degree. Okay. And it was not related at all. It just, my role really evolved from having just worked part-time in that sector, and then it just evolved into full-time work, and I was mobile enough that I could move to where the need was. It was a really interesting time, an interesting trajectory. It was at a time when, you know, laser eye surgery was just sort of starting and becoming sort of a great thing and a great opportunity for people to do. So it, I worked for some great organizations, some great surgeons.
So what would have been your primary role? Like, I mean, I guess going through part-time, you got to see how the business worked, what the opportunity was, and then obviously where you needed to fill the gaps. What were you specifically doing?
Yeah, great question. So at a laser eye surgery clinic, I have actually done pretty much every job in the organization. So from administrative work to preoperative eye tests to surgical counseling, I worked for a few years in the surgical room itself. I was a certified laser technician, so I actually assisted the ophthalmologist during surgery, knew how to clean and sterilize all of the instruments, did post-operative testing. So really, I had moved my way through the organization up to the position where then I was sort of a general manager, a leader of the organizations, because I knew all the roles. For a short period of time as well, I managed two laser eye surgery clinics, one in Ottawa and one in Kingston. So I went in between. And it was just really a happenstance that I got into that sector and stayed there for about 15 years.
Interesting. I always find it fascinating how people end up where they are, what their path has been to get there. And it's interesting what you learned during all of these different jobs. You didn't go to school for it. So it was all mostly really on-the-job training.
Absolutely. And, you know, you learn how to read a physician's handwriting, mm-hmm. and you learn how to liaise and work with doctors and physicians. And it's interesting because it also lent itself later on down the road, and I know we'll talk later on about when I was here, my work here in the county, but when I worked at Northumberland Hills Hospital Foundation. And again, in the hospital setting, that was comfortable environment for me because I was used to working with and around medical professionals.
Right. So, and I also, I guess, the communication with patients, being able to explain some pretty complex things that I think have to really be absorbed by the patient because it can be very complex.
Absolutely. You know, technology is a great thing when it works. And when the laser eye surgery equipment goes down and you're working with and you're managing patients who are, you know, quite frankly, coming in and quite anxious on their surgery day, mm-hmm. and rightfully so, even though the process has been explained to them. But, you know, if you have a day where, you know, things are running behind or a little bit delayed, it's really important that you're able to communicate with people and help, you know, do what you can to try to keep them relaxed or answer their questions. Or it was an invaluable experience that I had. Never would I ever have anticipated in my trajectory that I would be working and leading laser eye surgery clinics at all, but it was a great experience.
So, you move around a little bit. You have this experience managing that part of the business, but what occurred or what happened or what made you decide you were going to go a different direction?
So my direction really changed when I came here to Northumberland County. And it was life-changing in that I was in a relationship at the time, and I was much of my mobility was because of my partner Robert's work. That was somewhat why I was moving from Ottawa to Toronto, back to Ottawa, and then here to Northumberland County. So whenever people ask about how I landed in the county, my response is always the same. It was Cameco that brought us here to the community. So Robert took a job with Cameco doing government and stakeholder relations. And at the time, I had never lived in a small community. So he came here to work. And I came to visit on a few weekends and just fell in love with the community. So finally, he was thinking about commuting between Ottawa and Port Hope for work. And after I was here a few times, you know, finally about 6 months in, it was like, you know, instead of commuting, why don't you just move to Port Hope? Let's just build a life here. Mm-hmm. So Cameco was the reason that I came to the county. And also knowing at the time I had been in laser eye surgery for, close to 15 years. So I knew when I came here, it would be the opportunity to sort of change my path in terms of my career path.
Sure.
Certainly I was new to the area, but at the same time, I always felt that if I had the opportunity to contribute and work locally, I'd prefer to do that than be commuting into one of the other centers for work.
Yeah, I think it's a really common thing that we're kind of seeing a shift in the work style, I suppose I would say. A lot of the people we know in Port Hope who have moved here from Toronto still work in Toronto, but they work from home, so they're able to miss the commute because that is a hard lifestyle, the constant commuting back and forth. So we see that kind of dynamic, and whenever you can spend your time where you live, it's going to make you more connected to the community as well.
Absolutely. And I was grateful when I came to the community. I, in the group that Robert worked at Cameco, was in the communications department. And somebody on his team had suggested that I connect with Rhonda Cunningham at the Hospital Foundation if I wanted to sort of network. This is before I even moved to the community.
Sure.
So I actually came down one day and I met Rhonda for lunch. And we had a great chat, and she said, you know, if you want to do some sort of networking in the community, our hospital gala is coming up in a couple weeks. If you want to come back and volunteer, you're welcome to. So I came back a couple weeks later, and I volunteered for the gala. And then we fast forward a few months later where I end up moving to the community. I don't have a job when I get here. I was grateful to find a short-term contract opportunity once I got here. And then a great opportunity came up at Cornerstone Family Violence Prevention Center. They were an organization that had received some Trillium Foundation funding for a part-time resource development fundraiser. And they were coming off of their funding, and they decided that it was time to hire a full-time manager of resource development. And they were an organization that understood and could see the benefit of taking some risk and bringing on a full-time fundraiser, but knew that in time it would create some significant impact and raise some significant funds for the organization. So I, at the time, you know, I think they had consulted with Rhonda, actually, because they were looking for a fundraiser. And I came in and hadn't originally applied for the job. I think I came in at second or third round interviews. I applied in, and I wasn't a fundraiser by trade.
Right.
And I met with them, and we realized, I think, very quickly that it could be a really good fit, and that maybe I didn't need to be a fundraiser, an experienced fundraiser, but what I had was an incredible amount of transferable skills, because I had done some marketing and communication, and I'm highly organized, which lends itself well to facilitating events and letter campaigns. And after meeting with them a couple times, we realized, you know, this could work, and it turned out to be a great fit. I was there for close to 5 years, and, you know, it's a organization that's doing very well, and, you know, that was sort of my stepping stone and insight into social services, and particularly violence against women, the VAW sector, that I just did not know much about when I got there.
So I guess you see this opportunity, you take this opportunity, they see the opportunity that they have with you based on all of the transferable skills that you mentioned. And I think it's really important to note, I think a lot of organizations, when they have the first time having a specific role, they're almost wanting guidance from the person that's going to take that on as well. And if somebody's organized, that makes it even easier.
Absolutely. You know, it wasn't back then, too. You know, we're going back 10 years ago. Again, people didn't go to school or come out of school saying, I want to be a professional fundraiser.
Yes.
This is what I want to do. Mm-hmm. And so here in our community, you know, as you know, so many organizations, charities and nonprofits are fundraising right now. But unless you happen to get somebody who has maybe been in Toronto and worked for a hospital foundation or another charity, you just weren't back then going to school and coming out as an experienced fundraiser. So it was a lot of people sort of learning and growing as you go.
Well, and I think that's really important, because I think as time has evolved, I think we are shedding more light on all of these roles and opportunities. So you do have kids who are in high school and university are going, you know what? It's not like nobody's ever heard of this before. A lot of people now have this in their mind that this is a definite track or an opportunity for somebody to take their career.
Absolutely. And what we've seen, too, in the last, I would say, sort of 5 to 7 years is some programming more dedicated to either fundraising or even things like events management and PR communication programs. So now there are opportunities and programs with Durham and Loyalist. Maybe the program is more strongly built around marketing and communication, but they often have a course dedicated to fundraising or event management and are starting to sort of teach some of those fundraising transferable skills. I've been grateful for the opportunities here, because, you know, a lot of people in this community know and have followed, because I've moved around a little bit in the community, because there have been amazing opportunities that presented themselves. So when I came to Cornerstone, I was new into fundraising. And then about 4.5 years after I was there, Northumberland Hills Hospital Foundation had a position open up. And, you know, their small staff team had really dedicated long-term staff. And these positions just don't come along very often. So I had the opportunity to work with Rhonda and for Rhonda at the Hospital Foundation, work on a portfolio of major gifts and planned gifts, which was a new learning opportunity for me to expand my horizons. When I started at the Hospital Foundation, Carleton University had launched a first program of its kind in Canada called Master of Philanthropy and Nonprofit Leadership. So I applied in and got into the first cohort of students in that program, and it's still going strong. They're recruiting every year for their next round. So I really had a lot of synergies where things were coming together, and I was starting to learn more in the nonprofit and charitable sector, and then had the opportunity to go back to school and to engage a program where I could do some of it at Carleton, but do most of it remotely so I could work full time. So for 2 years, two and a half years while I was at the Hospital Foundation, I was working full time, and then I was going home and doing my schoolwork at night and on the weekends. And, you know, amazing network of students I met in the program at Carleton from all across Canada and some even international students. And it's, again, very resourceful network to be able to tap into people who are working in nonprofits and charities all over the place. You know, if you're looking for information on something, you can post it on your group's Facebook page and, you know, never know what you're going to get.
I just want to ask you a few questions about that. So you... Were you tipped off on this new course, or did somebody kind of lead you in that, or were you searching something out and you stumbled upon that?
So I think the answer to my question is twofold. I think I was sort of at a time in my life where I was thinking about going back to school and getting an MBA. And I was starting to think about what that would look like. It was sort of a time in my life where, you know, I had been working. I was thinking about going to school. I was feeling like I was in the position where I could, I was in a financial position to go back to school if that's what I wanted to do. And I was actually at a conference in Toronto, an Association of Fundraising Professionals conference, a congress that's held annually in usually late November, early December every year. And there was actually an advertisement in the AFP book that they handed out or agenda that year that was promoting this new program. And so it was probably that year where the applications were due in like January and you started in July, and I had to quickly pull a portfolio together and applied into the program. So it was almost serendipitous that I was sort of thinking about going back to school and thinking about what I wanted to do. And all of a sudden this program came forward and I thought, okay, if I'm working in this sector, not only do I want to work in the nonprofit and charitable sector, but I want to do what I can to build my capacity to become a strong leader in the sector and become a leader and an innovator. And I felt like this program would offer me the opportunity to do that. It was an incredibly rewarding experience, but the toughest thing I've ever done in my life. Being in that program in the first cohort of students, you were sort of like the guinea pigs through the whole thing. So every course that was taught, it was the first time the professor gave it. It was new technology to everybody. So it was incredibly difficult and challenging. But you feel the adversity when you, you know, make it through and come out on the other end. Yeah, it was incredible accomplishment in the end to, yeah, get through.
Very good. We're speaking with Heather Norris. We're just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and kind of dig into that information, mostly about fundraising philanthropy, the course that you did, and also the work you've done in Northumberland County. Welcome back to Business Insights with John Racine. My guest in studio today is Heather Norris. Heather is the CEO of Northumberland United Way. So just before the break, we discussed the master's degree that you got from Carleton University. You complete this this course. Obviously, as you said, it was a very challenging course. I guess any inaugural course is going to come with its challenges, but you are the class of the first class of you come back and you've learned all this amazing information during the time you were working at Northumberland Hills Hospital Foundation. But shortly after you completed this degree, another opportunity come knocking.
Yes. So shortly after I finished school, Northumberland United Way added a new position to their team, a role director of community impact. And that was a role that aligned with a lot of the key learnings from the master's program. So I had the opportunity to go to Northumberland United Way. I should share, too, that, you know, I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of amazing people, amazing women in our community and leaders who all supported me in these, in the roles that I moved on to. So when I was at Cornerstone working with Linda Jansen, when she saw the position come up at the Hospital Foundation, she very much encouraged me to build my capacity and consider the opportunity. And similarly with Rhonda at the Hospital Foundation, you know, I remember when the job at United Way was posted and she came to me and said, I saw this posting and it looks like it could be a great fit for you. So I've always been very supported by the people that I worked with and for to move on and learn more and see what I could bring to the organizations as well. So I had the opportunity to go to United Way and again create a new role that was evolving within the organization. And it was an opportunity that had me learning about all of the organizations that United Way funds and really driving the application and impact reporting processes. So you gain a ton of insight. You learn about the incredible need in this community because all of the organizations that apply to United Way for funding are necessary and important programs that don't have nearly enough funding to do what they do. So you learn a lot reading applications and meeting with organizations and understanding the complex needs that their clients are facing and the incredible need for funds.
And it's interesting you say you were given kind of some level of encouragement to kind of take on your next role. You go into an organization where maybe even each of these roles are new in themselves. So they create the opportunity, you come in and you're able to fulfill that. What would you say is an important thing to be thinking about when you're taking on a brand new role?
I think taking on new roles is something that I think has been obviously really exciting for me to sort of come in and take what I've learned and best practices that come with me and help build a new role from scratch. Certainly in every role that I've taken on, I've never gone into one thinking, oh, you know, this is going to be short term. I'm only going to be here for a couple of years and then I'm going to be moving on. So I've always gone into them with long-term thoughts that I'm going in and I'm working on setting ideally a strong foundation and really wanted to contribute to the organization and help set the organization up for success because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You could be here today and gone tomorrow. And I'd like to think that, you know, I'm helping put that infrastructure and foundation in place so that organizations can continue to grow and evolve and not only survive, but thrive after you've been there. So I think I've always been, you know, extremely dedicated to the roles that I've had. And I've been incredibly grateful for the opportunities that have come. If these opportunities hadn't come up, I never would have left Cornerstone and moved on. It was a great fit when I was there. And it was really just opportunistic that these other organizations had great opportunities that came available.
Sure. So, you know, I think it's important, just as you said, the United Way provides a lot of resources for all kinds of different charities in the community. Can you just tell us a little bit about how important it is to have your mandate and your clear messages to broadcast what you're doing in order to get people to make financial contributions to an organization like the United Way?
Absolutely. So I think, you know, one of the challenges that United Way has is because we do so much and we fund so much, it's become incredibly difficult, pretty much impossible to have a 30-second elevator pitch that most organizations, most charities and standalone organizations would have. So, you know, if you're the Y, you know exactly what you're supporting. If you're Cornerstone, you know exactly what you're supporting. The benefit of Northumberland United Way, so first and foremost, is that we are a long-standing charity in this community. We are celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. And United Way's evolved before all of these other organizations were fundraising. You know, we were the organization that raised the funds to help all of these charities and nonprofits do their work. And a big thing that's changed along the way is as government funding has decreased and that the need for the services has increased, they're now all fundraising as well. But the reality is they still need additional support from Northumberland United Way. And I know we all give to charities that we feel a personal connection to, that we are passionate about. And the benefit of donating to United Way is that, you know, we can put, for example, I can give $100 to charity A and $100 to charity B and so on. But if I took my $500 or my $1,000 or $1,500 and I gave it to Northumberland United Way, who's funding that same organization, but we're funding them at $25,000 or $50,000 or $90,000, the impact of those collective gifts is incredibly significant. And it's, unfortunately, the funding requests that come into us are far greater than our ability to fund. So our goal is always to raise as much money as possible so that we can invest as much money as possible back into the community. You know, last year in our impact report, we reported that 1 in 3 residents across Northumberland County accessed a United Way funded program or service the previous year. That to me is an incredibly staggering statistic. Essentially, if you're not using one of the services we fund, somebody close to you is, or your kids are going to school with a friend who's using a backpack from our Backpack for Kids program. So the need is significant, and we want to be there and we'll continue to be there to help support the great needs in our community. And we certainly hope that people will support Northumberland United Way so that we can continue doing the important work.
I think statistics like that are really important because I think we live in a community in a certain part of the world where I'm not saying we as a collective we, but I think on an individual basis, sometimes it's hard to really see either the poverty or the issues that are not being funded if you yourself are not directly in them. And I think that that's a really hard or a big struggle for not just the United Way, but a lot of organizations that are trying to shed light on what's going on. And I think a lot of people, because we can go about our entire day without witnessing it or experience it, or just, it's not as visible as I think people want it to be in order for them to want to give.
And I completely agree. One of the examples that I'll share, when I came to Northumberland United Way, I started to sit on the Northumberland County's Affordable Housing Committee. Now, I came from Ottawa and working and living in Toronto, and homelessness is quite visible. The homelessness on the street, wherever you go. So when I joined the Affordable Housing Committee and we're talking about issues of homelessness, I have to admit I was quite naive when I joined that committee, and I was trying to understand, like, what is the homelessness issue or problem here? Because I don't see the people on the street, and I have that, we have that Hollywood version, right, of movies of seeing homeless people, but also having lived in bigger cities where I did witness it on a regular basis. And I wasn't seeing that here. So it took me a little while to understand the context and the complexity here. But the reality was that the service providers that are sitting around that table, who are working hand in hand every day with a homeless population, with individuals with incredibly complex needs, with addictions and mental health issues, it shapes a much more clear picture. I mean, and now, you know, our community is not any different than any other. We do not have enough affordable housing. The government is infusing as much money as possible into housing. And we have issues here just like everywhere else. But the reality is we don't see it as much, particularly because we have that real cross-section of urban and rural. So there's a lot of people, I think, in our community who probably couch surf, or sort of, if they're sleeping rough or outdoors, they sort of stay out of, they're out of plain sight. And, you know, they're not on our main streets. But it doesn't mean that the problem doesn't exist. But You're right when you mentioned earlier, you know, if we don't see it, it's tougher to comprehend and understand the need. But I can tell you that the need is there, and the need is great. And that's just one of the things. You know, organizations here like the Help Center, incredibly impactful organization. One of the organizations that we fund the most to, they are a very small staff that uses hundreds of volunteers, and they service low-income individuals, and they provide a whole myriad of programs and services from English as a second language, tax program, financial literacy. And if you haven't actually used their service, you might have never heard of the Help Center. But the reality is that every year, they are providing services to probably around 8,000 at least individuals in our community every year. And that is, that's incredible. And, you know, they offer a tax program to help people get their taxes done every year. They do over 2,000 tax returns every year. That nets about $5 million back into the community. And the government doesn't fund them to make sure that those 2,000 plus tax returns are done. They do it with volunteers and a dedicated staff and a very small team. But their impact is very significant.
Very much so. I guess the impact of people filling out their tax returns, the government needs the data in order to understand what they're going to be funding and how it's going to be funded. So your work at the United Way, you didn't start as the CEO. You moved into this role. Tell us a little bit about that transition.
Yeah, so as mentioned earlier, so I moved over to Northumberland United Way as the Director of Community Impact. A couple of years into that role, Linda Kay had decided to retire after 28 years of leading that organization to success. And I applied for the role and was the successful candidate. And so not easy by any means, moving in behind somebody who has had Linda's, you know, trajectory. And yeah, so, you know, when you move into a role like that, sort of, I think all eyes are on you for a little while. People are waiting and watching to sort of see what happens and see how things go. And it's been an amazing opportunity. And, you know, we're doing well. We're an organization that works incredibly hard. We also have a very small staff team and a small army of volunteers that help us do what we do. But yeah, we work hard all day, every day. And a lot of people know historically with United Way as being a fundraiser that traditionally ran a campaign in the fall, so sort of September to December. But as you can imagine, as times have changed and the needs have increased, we can no longer do what we do by just fundraising in the fall. We have to fundraise all year. And all the organizations that we fund are fundraising all year as well. So it's an incredible operation that doesn't really stop. You know, we're coming off of year end on March 31st, and we start all over again April 1st and hit the ground running with our next campaign. Yeah.
So you've recently, I think anybody that knows you would have seen on either Facebook or media outlets, of course, you've been offered a new opportunity, and a new opportunity which will land you back into Ottawa. Tell us just a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, again, grateful to have the opportunity here at Northumberland United Way because, again, this part of my trajectory, this amazing opportunity to move into the CEO role here has, again, been an invaluable experience. I had an opportunity that I've embraced to head back home to Ottawa. I'm moving to an organization called Ottawa Network for Education, another charitable organization that works with the public education system in Ottawa. So with the four public school boards, and they provide all of the public school programming for things like the Nutritious Breakfast Program, Junior Achievement, Substance Abuse Counseling, Assisted Technology. So a myriad of necessary programs and services, but all across the public school board. So again, a small staff with a mighty force of over 3,000 volunteers every year that help facilitate these programs. I think their Nutritious Breakfast Program offers around 2.5 million meals last year across 191 schools in the public school board. So again, a very impactful organization that has a strong foundation and, you know, a history of receiving government funding, but again, also has to fundraise. So each year, I think the government funding is going down a little bit and the needs, you know, continue to increase. I think particularly going back home to Ottawa, going to that community where, again, with the refugees coming in, there's a larger immigrant and refugee population than ever before, which also means that on the public school system, things like English as a second language and the need for necessary programs and supports is incredibly great, and the needs are growing. So it was a very exciting opportunity. I'm replacing a president and CEO who's retiring after 18 years at the helm of the organization.
Right. So this is actually your final week. We're recording this on Tuesday. We're going to be airing it on Thursday at noon. just tell us just a little bit about your overall experience at the United Way, and really what do people really need to understand about the United Way, especially in this community, and how important it is for people to get involved and to really understand the need.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the differences with Northumberland United Way is we have this very unique lens and perspective on the community. Because we see all the funding applications that come in, we know the organizations and we know the needs in this community are significant. And we know the complex needs that the organization's clients are facing. So we're uniquely positioned in that we often are also looked to for advice as a bit of a community convener when people are looking to discuss new initiatives or change some initiatives. They'll often come to United Way based on our sort of skills and expertise to see what we know. So we are often in a position where we're trying to help build other partnerships and collaborations of people in the community. Again, with our unique position, I think that now we're heading into our 50th anniversary. I would say, you know, it's probably not often that you would come across a charity or nonprofit in Northumberland County that hasn't been touched or felt the impact of funding through Northumberland United Way at some point in our history. So not only do we have our annually funded community partners, we also offered smaller grants to a number of organizations this year. We do the Day of Caring. We have the Backpacks for Kids program. We lead 211 with the support of Northumberland County's Community and Social Services. So often talk about Northumberland United Way as almost being somewhat of an invisible thread that runs through the entire county. And often if you need a program or service, you go and you access that program or services, but you don't usually think about or know that that program or service is potentially there in part because of funding and support from Northumberland United Way, which means it's coming from the support of our community. So our stakeholders of amazing donors, individuals, businesses, different levels of government. So it's all of the stakeholders in the community that support Northumberland United Way that allow us to do the work that we do. And the reality is the more money that we can raise and invest back into the community, it means that the organizations we're funding, they can focus on providing exceptional client services and ideally not have to fundraise. We are Northumberland County's largest non-government funder of health and human services, so the more we can do, hopefully it helps, you know, support and alleviate some of that work from the organizations themselves so that everybody doesn't have to be an expert fundraiser.
That's a really good point. We're just going to take a quick break, and we're going to come in with our final segment. Welcome back to Business Insights with John Racine. My guest in studio today is Heather Norse. Heather is the CEO of Northumberland United Way. So I ask these questions to every guest, and I think they're really important. I think in this case, this is a completely different kind of perspective that I think listeners need to hear. When looking at kind of trying to find the right level of advice for younger people, and it might not be somebody who's just coming out of school, it might be somebody who's making a career change, but I kind of ask the question kind of in this kind of sequential order. So I ask kind of everything that you've done that's kind of brought you to where you are now. You worked in industry, you've gone and were able to find your place in several different organizations to help build awareness and community engagement. If you could go back to Heather, though, who is, you know, still in university, say, knowing what you know now, what are the type of things? And I always am careful. I'm not saying, you know, what would you change? Because that's certainly not something that I think most people would come to grips with. I think what it really is kind of saying, what would you tell yourself kind of just as something interesting that you want to make sure that you get across to your younger self?
Great question. So I was never a kid that grew up with a strong sense of future direction. You know, I wasn't a child who said, you know, I want to be a doctor or a lawyer or knew my path. In thinking back, I would say one of the things that I always thought would be really neat, so if anybody out there is looking for, you know, their next trajectory, I think getting into linguistics and languages would be really cool. To be able to learn, you know, three or four different languages can create amazing job opportunities, but also the ability to be able to travel or even be local and have somebody speaking a different language and know what they're saying and be able to communicate is something that I think would be really exciting. That's a total aside. I think for me and my trajectory, and I would say is, I think I've always been someone that was open to new opportunities. And I think that's really what has allowed me to mobilize myself around different roles, whether it was in my professional work or in my volunteer work. You know, when I came here to Northumberland County, I had the amazing opportunity to sit on a municipal committee. I sat on the Parks and Rec Advisory Committee for the municipality of Port Hope. I've sat on social service committees. I sat on the board of directors of the Port Hope and District Chamber of Commerce. So I think, you know, being open to opportunities and also trying to think outside of the box, I would say. You know, like we talked about earlier, I never would have planned in my life that I would be in, thought I would be in nonprofit or charitable sector, or that I would be in the leadership positions that I am now. But I think, you know, when I went to Cornerstone, for example, I wasn't that fundraiser by trade. And I think sometimes you need to be willing to look at a role and maybe I couldn't say I was a fundraiser, but maybe I could sell myself as having some amazing skills and expertise that I could bring to this community and to this organization and help support them in building a fundraising foundation for future success. So I think, you know, being open and maybe not so rigid in your career path might actually present some alternative opportunities that you might never have thought were possible.
I think that really also goes right into my follow-up, which would be somebody who's kind of gaining interest in philanthropy or fundraising or just being a part of a not-for-profit organization. What should somebody who's kind of wanting to go down that path now, what should they be doing to best set them up for the type of, I think it's sometimes it's the type of success that people feel they need early in order to drive them forward. What do you think that somebody should be thinking of or doing right now?
I am a big supporter of finding and connecting with mentors. I've had incredible opportunities, and here in the community, actually, I've been surrounded by and mentored by incredibly strong women. You know, again, with Linda Jansen at Cornerstone, Rhonda Cunningham at the Hospital Foundation, Linda Kay at Northumberland United Way. These are all incredible women with great success stories of their own, and they're now their friends, their colleagues, they're people that I can connect to and liaise with. And, you know, I know that people reach out to each of them regularly, you know, people who are thinking about or looking at fundraising or nonprofit charitable work. I always think it's an incredible opportunity to liaise and connect with somebody who's doing the work. You know, we all have days where we're doing work and something comes across our desk that's sort of outside the normal day-to-day activities. And it's great to have somebody that you could reach out to that's just a phone call or an email away where you can say, hey, have you seen this before? Or, you know, maybe it's, you know, everybody's not perfect and happy all day, every day. And sometimes you just need to touch base with somebody else in your sector that knows the work and knows, you know, sometimes when you're in the trenches and can help get you through. And so I encourage people to find somebody who can help mentor and support them in the roles, because I never think you have to go it alone. I'm a big believer in not reinventing the wheel. So I'm incredibly resourceful myself in looking at opportunities that are being done elsewhere that, you know, we can bring to the community. You know, United Way is incredible because there's a whole network throughout the United Way movement where I can reach out to leaders of other United Ways across the movement. So I would always encourage people to find someone that's meaningful for them that they really can connect with and learn from and be comfortable reaching out to when you have those questions or you just have those days. And
I really like that. I think it's important that people know that sometimes in your industry it may seem difficult to reach out and connect with other people. Maybe it's not as collegial, maybe it's a little bit more difficult, but I think you're a lot of those ideas and thoughts really transcend industries, and I think that you can really learn a lot from people who are trying to make a difference, no matter really what job specifically it is. So, I'm also intrigued. Another question I think is interesting, and you are a very organized person, and that's a skill, that's a trait, that may be a lot more about saying about what kind of person you are, but also tell us a little bit maybe about a habit, maybe it's something to do with your daily habit or an organizational habit that you would say is something that you do often enough that you would say, you know, that doing that often enough has really led to me being able to have, say, the success I've had. What would you share with people? You say, you know what, this is the one or two habits that I think everybody would feel empowered by.
So I think in this day, with everybody being so connected to technology, you know, it is, you're basically on all the time. You have access to your email and your text messages all day, every day. And I would say one of the things that I just do to keep organized, and also for my own mental health wellness, you know, I don't, we do a lot of work that's outside your traditional business hours. There's a lot of events and committee meetings and stuff that we attend when we work in the nonprofit sector. But I also am a big believer that you need to sort of be able to shut down. So I'm not somebody that has my phone beside my bed at night. It stays in a different room. I do my work and respond to staff generally during business hours. And I'm also a really big believer and promoter of myself and my employees taking vacation. You know, that vacation is earned, and I believe that everybody needs those mental health wellness breaks from work. And even when I go away on vacation, I believe that it should be a break away from work. So I leave work. I don't generally take my cell phone with me or respond, obviously, unless there's an emergency. So I think nowadays we actually have to be disciplined. We have to discipline ourselves to create some rigor in how and when we're going to use and be attached to technology, because I think we all need some breaks from it. You know, there's a lot of people who, I happen to be a great sleeper. There's a lot of people who don't sleep well and their minds are always racing and they're waking up in the night with agenda items and to-do lists. And, you know, I think, you know, some of that too, I think with technology, if you've got it right next to you all day, every day, and you're used to it constantly ringing and you're always responding, I think, you know, there's something to be said about finding some time to keep it a little bit further than arm's length and allow your mind and body and soul to rest and hopefully wake up refreshed the next day and hit the ground running.
I really like that. I think that's really important. You know, obviously, now more than ever, we're constantly connected with what's going on. And there's good, but there's obviously you can get really consumed by it. And I think that's a really important. I really appreciate you giving me the time to sit down. I wish you all the best luck in your endeavors in Ottawa. And the community really appreciates everything that you've done to help raise awareness from all the different organizations, as well as make sure that we're fundraising for all of these initiatives. So thank you.
Thanks, John. I appreciate the opportunity.
So you can check out my Facebook page. It's Business Insights with John Racine. You can check out Northumberland 89.7's website. Just click on shows and podcasts. Scroll down. You can see Business Insights there. Click on that. All previous shows are recorded. You can listen to them podcast. Also available on Apple iTunes, as well as many other podcast platforms. Thank you very much. Take care.